So we want to welcome Bastia Goldstein to our very first inaugural GPATS for this year, GPATS year. So Bastia went to Shalavim for Women and Stern College, major in art and minor in English. She's currently completing her master's degree in Tanakh at YU's GPATS program. And she's also pursuing an MFA in visual narrative from the School of Visual Arts. And she created and taught a three-part Tanakh series on NCSY, oh, 4G Euro, cool, and has taught Torah in multiple communities through YU Torah Tours. We are so very happy to welcome you to Young Israel of Jamaica States. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And also, this is actually the perfect place to talk about Rachel. I don't know if any of you have seen Sorshi yet.
I'm sorry, one thing I forgot. I apologize for interrupting you. I want to thank Sarah and Mark Beanstock for sponsoring. And this is in memory of Sarah's father, Leon Lehman. So we should just thank the Beanstocks and his neshama should have an aliyah. Thank you so much. Sorry about that.
No worries at all. We're getting back to it. But this past Parsha was Parsha Vayetzeh, which is where we see Rachel be introduced. And this coming Parsha that we're coming up to this week is Parsha Vayishlach, where we see Rachel pass away, unfortunately. And in source number one, we see in Yirmiyahu, this is always what I think of when I think of Rachel, because she is buried in Ephrat, going into Eretz Yisrael. And so when Bnei Yisrael are going into Galus, they're passing by Rachel's kever, and she sees Bnei Yisrael going, and sees them like going into Galus. And so she's crying on their behalf and praying to Hashem to let them come back into the land. And the classic, Rachel mevaka al banaha, Mom Rachel cries for us again. Any of you are familiar with that song? And Hashem answers those prayers. He says, yes, Bnei Yisrael will come back because of you, Rachel. And it's great. It's beautiful. But one thing that it always struck me as interesting or odd is that in the pasuk, Rachel never seems to necessarily understand tefillah so much. So we see in source number two, where this isn't the first time Rachel's introduced, but this is the first time that Rachel has dialogue. And so on one hand, we can look at Rachel in a very positive way as someone who is always putting davening first and putting Yaakov's family and bringing the Shvatim first. Or we could see her in a more negative light as someone who really wants children, but isn't going about it in the correct way.
We have to go to bed.
And so if we look at source number two, if possible, if everyone can mute their computers, that'd be great. Thank you so much. So in source number two, we see Vatir Rachel Kiloya Dabiakov. Rachel sees she hasn't had any kids. And the previous parak, Leah has just given Yaakov four children. So she's jealous of her sister. She says to Yaakov, please daven for me to have kids or bring me children. And if not, then I'm going to die. Yaakov gets upset. Am I under God that I could solve your infertility problem? And Rachel responds, go to her, and so Rachel says, okay, fine, if you're not going to die on my behalf, at least here's Bilha, my amati, my like shivcha, marry her and have children through her. And if we're looking at this from a positive view, then Rachel's first reaction is instinct, is to daven. We see she tells Yaakov, havali banim, what she's saying. So according to Rashi in source number three, havali v'chi kachasa v'chalineh. Rachel is following the precedent of Yitzchak and Rivka, where Yitzchak davens on Rivka's behalf for Rivka to have children. So she's saying to Yaakov, Yaakov, pray on my behalf that I have children, just like your father and your mother did. So again, first thing she turns to is prayer and understanding that everything comes from Hashem. And when she says, Meitanochi, it isn't a threat of, I'm going to hurt myself if you don't daven for me or give me children. Rather, Mikan Mishaim Abanim Shachashav Kanis, that Rachel really wants to contribute to Yaakov's family and to continue this mission that has been from Avram to Yitzchak to Yaakov. And so she wants to add to it, and she doesn't want to be cut off from this family. And we could see that when Yaakov says no to her and says, I'm not going to die on your behalf, Rachel's reaction isn't, to do nothing. Rather, she's persistent because she's passionate about this. And she says, let me build myself through Bilha. If I can't continue on through myself, Yaakov davening for me, then at least let me continue on through Bilha while continuing to daven. So we see her phrase that Ibaneh Gamanoch Mimena is very similar to what Sarah says to Yaakov, to Abraham, when she gives Hagar to Abraham to have a child to continue the nation of Abraham. And we see this in Ibn Ezra in the second shot, Vibneh Miforesh Vidivrei Sarah. We could see a similar thing with Sarah. And then even when she's giving Bilha to Sarah from his to Yaakov from his positive view, we can already see that Rachel is still davening and continuing to pray to Hashem in how she names Bilha's son. So in source number 5, Vatehar Bilha Vatzlev Yaakov Bain, she gives birth to a son. Vatumar Rachel Danani Alkeim Vidam Shemei Bekoli. Hashem has judged me and listened to my voice and given me this son. Again, full of gratitude, even though the son isn't even coming from her, she's still saying, Hashem, listen to my voice, praying, so great, beautiful. The question is we could also look at this from a very different view. So just for a bit of context, Rabbi Yehuda Rock has a really interesting idea that to differentiate between how someone would serve a Avodah Zarah or worship an idol versus the relationship of someone and God, or between, you know, person and Hashem. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Rock, when someone is an Avodah worshiper, the relationship is more like a transaction. It's a mail order of, I want this, so I'll pray to you for it, and then you'll give it to me. So I want children, give me children by giving me you the sacrifice, or I want money, etc. But there isn't a relationship there. It's not a back and forth. The person doesn't actually care what the idol wants. It's more, this is the way it works, that I'll get what I want. Versus in a relationship with Hashem, it's all about the back and forth of believing in, we understand that Hashem wants things and we want things. And it's a constant back and forth and give and take versus a Avodah Zarah, which is really just a take. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that you can be someone who believes fully in Hashem and is totally monotheistic, but bring a Avodah Zarah mentality to this, to the relationship with Hashem. So if we look in the bold, what is this person that he's referring to? So it's someone who mitzpalel achlo chin chana l'fnei amakom. They're davening, but it's not for Hashem. Ella kipol al hashkacha. It's about what they want. He doesn't care whether Hashem wants these mitzvos. Rather, ella kidei la'sig es matorata. Rather, it's just for his own benefit. Menaso he muna b'Hashem v'lo b'alim. Ach menaso einu tmima yesh ba kedam. Yes, he's davening to Hashem and it's great, but he's having the very wrong mentality of this is a transaction, not a relationship. So going back to Rachel saying Havali Banim, before we interpreted it as her asking Yaakov to pray on her behalf in a positive sense. But looking at it now, maybe it's more of a demand. Yaakov, Havali Banim, bring me children, bring them on my behalf. And we see in Ramban that he understands her idea of Havali Banim as in the bold in source number 7, Chit Balel Leha Ad Sheitein LaBanim Al Kol Panim. Not just that he bring her children by davening for and hopefully Hashem will answer, rather that he bring these children to fruition, which again is totally misconstruing how a relationship with God works. It's not we asking, God gives. Rather, it's a constant back and forth. And this could also explain why Yaakov gets so angry at Rachel, because he's saying, you should be davening. It's a bit of a musser of, if we look in the bold, and again in source number 7, that it's not in the hands of tzaddikim that Hashem will answer on all panim. Again, that it is not in Hashem's, it's not in his hand that Hashem will just do this al kol panim. There has to be an understanding of a back and forth. So we see immediately that Rachel is misunderstanding the relationship between men and Hashem, and also that she is going to Yaakov and not turning to Hashem. And Radak takes this even further, that what's Rachel doing? She isn't even saying that Yaakov should pray on her behalf and that it should definitely come true. Rather, she's saying that she's praying to Yaakov almost and not taking Hashem completely out of the picture. In source number 8, in the second bold, She's putting all her hope in Yaakov that he do it, but not doubting to Hashem for it, to have children. And Yaakov's Musar is actually really interesting because he says, look at Leah, your sister, which I'm sure Rachel loved to hear. And he says, Leah keeps doubting and having children, so look to her and do the same. Ask him to open up your womb. And so we see from Ramban and Radak that Yaakov was giving Rachel a little bit of Musar, and we expect that Rachel is going to have some sort of response of maybe doubting to have a child in response, as we see in other cases where in source number 10 and 11, where we have women who also are infertile and are really want children, and their reaction is to pray to Hashem. So we see in source number 10, Chana is really wants to have children, and she hasn't been able to, and Nina, her co-wife, has had many children. And so when her husband Elkanah isn't helping her or praying on behalf, we see in Pasuk Yud, Vihi maras nefesh, she's like very bitter, but his valel al shem ibachat tibcha, she's extremely sad, but her reaction is to daven. That's the immediate response. And she gives a neder and all these things. And we see with Sarah that even though Sarah doesn't, it's not shown davening for a child, when she gives Hagar to Abraham in source number 11, she isn't saying, here's Hagar in order to have children. Rather, it's not just that. It's that she's saying, he may not serene Hashem miladas. She understands this is coming from God. It's not that she's just having a hard time giving birth. It's understanding that Hashem doesn't want her to give birth at this time. So she says, Abraham, I want children to come through you. So I will, maybe it'll work that if it goes to Hagar. What's Rachel's reaction? Yaakov gives her tells her this bit of rebuke. And her immediate reaction is, Bilha. It's not learning her lesson at all. It's almost like it goes completely over her head. It's the next best thing of first, Yaakov should have done it for me. And once that doesn't happen, she says, okay, fine. Let's try with Bilha. Again, totally misunderstanding how to feel works. And after this point, we see that both the shivchot are given to Yaakov and they each have kids. And then later on in source number 11, we see another, sorry, my bad. In source number 12, we see another situation. So Reuben, Leah's son, finds these dudaim in the field. We're not necessarily sure what they are. There's some sort of flowers. And he brings them to Leah, his mother. Rachel says, Leah, please give me some of your son's dudaim. And Leah reacts very explosively, and she says, first you took, it's not enough that you took my son, my husband, now you're also taking the flowers of my son. And Rachel says, okay, fine, let's make a transaction. I will take your son's dudaim, and in return, you will get to sleep with Yaakov. And Leah is down for this and very excited and pasuk tetzayin and runs out to Yaakov in the field and everything's great. So the question is, first off, what are these dudaim? But more importantly, what is their purpose? Because either we can look at it from the view that their purpose is for fertility, or we could look at it from the view that their purpose is just nice flowers. And depending on how we interpret it, can change how we interpret Rachel's reaction. So looking at Ramban in source number 13, these dudaim, he says, she just wants them for the nice smelling flowers. And Ramban is very specific that why does Rachel want these dudaim? It's not for fertility, because keep tefillah nifkada Rachel lo b'derech hafilot. Rachel, whose immediate reaction was to daven, havali banim, for Yaakov to daven on her behalf. And thus, she's continuing by saying she is not wanting these dudaim in order to have children. Rather, she just likes them for the smell, and she's continuing to daven, understanding that her fertility only comes from God. And in a way, we can continue this, even though this is not said explicitly in the Ramban, by looking we can interpret, why is it that the deal is Rachel gives Leah the night with Yaakov? You think someone who is desperate to have children wouldn't want to give up one night just in case. So looking at Ramban, we can interpret from this that Rachel understands that this is all from Hashem, and one night with Yaakov won't make or break how much, whether she's going to have children, because it's all up to Hashem. So if she doesn't sleep with Yaakov tonight, that won't matter. Hashem is the one who's deciding whether she's going to have kids or not. Again, beautiful view that Rachel is someone who davens, and that's always her first reaction. It's her knee-jerk instinct. And if we continue in Abarbanel gives a more par view that the same way that we do nowadays, you could have a shtadlus and you could daven. So he says, Rachel is using these dudaim in order for their fertility purposes, but she's also davening to Hashem. The way you pray for Hashem to help you with your broken ankle, but you'd also get it set in splints. The thing is, we could also, what if we're looking at these dudaim as fertility flowers? So if we look in Ibn Ezra, he says dudaim. And this is source number 15. So there was a whole idea that these dudaim are a form of fertility, which begs the question of, maybe Rachel is using them as a form of fertility. And the same way she made a mistake, as we interpreted before, that she turned to Yaakov instead of Hashem and Bilhah instead of Hashem, now she's turning to these fertility flowers instead of turning to Hashem. And we can see this further if we look in Sforno. So in Sforno, in source number 16, when he talks about the deal Rachel makes with Leah, he explains, So what's Rachel saying? Leah gets upset that Rachel's taking these dudaim of her son because they're for fertility. And Leah understands that one thing that she has over Rachel at this point, Rachel being her favorite wife, is that Leah has children and Rachel doesn't. So Rachel says, Leah, don't worry. You'll have the night with Yaakov tonight with the dudaim and you'll have kids. And then afterwards, I'll have the dudaim and I'll have kids. And that way you kind of get a head start. On one hand, you could say this is a nice view of their relationship. On the other hand, we can continue to see Rachel's misconception that she assumes that al kol panim, these flowers are going to work, that Leah's going to have kids and Rachel's going to have kids, totally taking Hashem out of the picture. And in Shaddal, we could see something that's even worse, where even though Shaddal does not agree with his opinion he brings, he says, kol zeh rachol me'od beinai, but still just to think about it, he says in source number 17 that these flowers, hayu hak domim osim mehem kishufim, lehavi avatam belev zuatam, that people would use these flowers for kishuf in order to make their significant other love them more. Which, if Rachel is asking Yaakov pavali banim and he's not doing it, maybe that's why she's using these flowers, which again is totally the wrong mindset. And now if we look in source number 18, this is the naming of Yosef, where Rachel finally has a child after not having a child for many years. And Hashem listens to Rachel and he hears her prayers and he opens her rachem, her ability to have kids. And she gives birth to a son and she names him Yosef. So she gives him a double name, Yosef, because Hashem has gathered up her charpa. And two, she also calls him Yosef so that Hashem will add to her another son. And this is kind of a strange name to give. And we can interpret it, again, in a very positive sense. Rachel has been davening this whole time, didn't use the dudaim in the sense of fertility, just for the nice smell. And finally, Hashem's listened to a prayer that she's been praying this whole time. And she has Yosef and she's just ecstatic. And all she wants to do is thank Hashem. According to Ibn Ezra, Kitam Karis. Now, what is this Chayrapati that she's talking about? She is Chayrapati, my bad. She was nervous that she was going to be cut off, that she was not going to be able to contribute to Yaakov's family and to contribute to B'nai Yisrael. And so now that she's had the son, she knows that she can contribute and that she has. She's so excited and so happy, and she's thanking Hashem. And we could also ask, what's with the second name? You know, Rachel has been wanting a child for so long. She finally gets it. It's kind of strange that her immediate reaction is to ask for another child. So according to Abarbanel, this is actually showing us further how much passion Rachel has for adding to the family of Yaakov. So Yosef mitam she Yosef Hashem la ben acher, the gamza meresh she hayu ha'imahos yodos kama benim hayu Yaakov atzid mahalid, that the imahos knew in the future how many children Yaakov was going to have. Ki b'avor she Rachel ra'ata she kvar yalda Leah shisha benim, the bilha v'zilba arba, she sees that Leah has had six, that Bilha and Zilba had four. And she sees that there are only two potential kids left to have. Add to these 12 shvatim that are going to create the whole B'nai Yisrael forever. Was that Amra al Yosef? Yosef Hashem li ben acher. Please add to me another son. It's not that she wants a bunch of more kids, but rather ben acher. She just wants to continue to contribute and add to Yaakov's family. We see Rashi has a very similar idea. They quote the same midrash. Yodat ha'itah b'nevuah she'en Yaakov atid l'hamid ela shneimasar shvatim amra yihir atzon she'oto shehu atid l'hamid yihye mimeni v'kach lo nisbola ela al ben acher. So again, she's asking not to have more children, but to have the last child. And we see that she is already davening. Even when she's had this one son, Rachel is still turning to prayer as the way that she's going about getting the things that she wants. And her goals are they're not about jealousy of her sister, rather just about continuing Yaakov's mission. And the thing is, we could also look at this from a different view. You guys are going to get a little tired of me saying that. But if we look at source number 22 in Sefer Shmuel, so when we look at Asaf Hashem Es Hayati, let's look at how other people name their children and their reactions versus Rachel's reaction. So in Shmuel Aleph, we see in source 22, we see Chana's reaction. So she finally has a child. And again, just as a little bit of context, in order to have his child, Chana is already promising that she will give up his child to the Mishkan, meaning she won't even get the joy of raising this child as her own. She's immediately going to give him to Hashem. And once she has her child, and she doesn't ask for another child or anything near that kind of sort. Rather, in Pasuk Aleph, as you see, Chana Batomer, Alas Livi Vashem, thank you so much. I'm so happy with Hashem. Roma Karni Vashem, Rachav Pi Oyevai, Ki Samachti B'Yoshua Secha. I'm so happy with how you saved me. In Kadosh Kashem, Ki Ein Botachav, Ein Sorke Elokeinu. Again, this goes on for a whole parak of just her thanking Hashem for this child that she won't even get to keep. And we see with Sarah something similar, where Sarah hasn't been able to have a child, and finally she gives birth to one. In source number 23, Pasuk Vav, Vatomer Sarah, Tzachok Asali Elokim, Kol Shemei Yitzchakli. Hashem has done such a great thing for me. Everyone who hears this should also rejoice. Again, something that's so positive. And even in source 24, we see Leah, who has a bit of a negative tinge to the naming of her children, but even so, it's all in a karsa tov to Hashem. We see in source number 24, Reuben, Kimra, Kira al Hashem be ani. Hashem has seen my suffering. Ani, rather. Kishima, and then with Shimon, Kishima Hashem kisnua anofi. Hashem, thank you for answering my prayers, seeing that I was hated and trying to help me with giving me another child. And especially with Yehuda, Yehuda's literally name means thanks. Hapam odes Hashem. This time I'm going to thank Hashem. And we see Leah does this for each one of her children and for each of Zilpah's children. And now let's look back at how Rachel says to Hashem and thanks Hashem. Rachel said, Asaf es Chayrati. And Chayrati is not just something little, like a little bit of an embarrassment. Rather, this is a full-blown disgrace. And in a way, it sounds like Rachel is giving Hashem a thinly veiled accusation of, Hashem, you caused me all this chirpa, so thank you for giving me the son. But now, Yosef Hashem li ben acher. Hashem, now give me another. So yeah, you gave me the son and I'd help with my cherpa, but you owe me this other son, which again brings us right back to the issue of Havali Banim. If you look in the Kuntra Schira Yisera, he makes this connection. Yosef Hashem li ben acher in source 25. Kimo Shamra li il Havali Banim Shnayim. She asked me for another son. Then ein meita nochi. It doesn't seem like she's even thanking Hashem for this child. Rather, this veiled accusation of Hashem, you gathered up my cherpa. So he gives mashal ani. He says it's mashal for someone who's poor, mishpachat ashirim, who's from a rich family. Shemari here at Son she'emtza matzmon v'sadai. That like they ask, please let me find money in my field. The next day they find money. Their reaction isn't, thank you so much, I can buy a coffee and I can donuts. Rather, Amar Yishlach Haram Yoter Mimeni. Other people have more than me. You hear it, Son she'emtza matzmon she'ni. Let me have more money. Rachel, she is jealous of Leah, who has six kids. As it literally says in the pasuk, so according to the Kuntres Leba, both times when Rachel is asking for children, it is out of jealousy of Leah, and both times it's misconstruing how the tefillah works. She's almost treating it like a Christmas list of I want X, Y, and Z, and Hashem should give it to me. And having no concept of how a relationship with Hashem works, that why is Hashem giving you the son? Why was Hashem not giving the son? It has nothing to do with that. It's just, this is what I want. And I'm saying this to have another child. And lastly, after Yosef is born, we see that Yaakov decides it's time for them to leave Laban's house. And so he goes to Laban and he tries to figure out his wages. Laban's a total used car salesman about it. And finally, Yaakov, with Rachel and Leah, decide that they should escape in the middle of the night and without Laban knowing. So in source 26, Laban halach b'gzozes sono, this is when they're making their getaway. But it says, v'tigno Rachel esa trafim asher la'afia, that Rachel steals the trafim of her father. And we see in Pasuk Laman Aleph that they leave and then Laban finds them. And he confronts them and says, you guys stole my Elohai. You stole these gods of mine, these trophies. This is Yaakov saying, if you find your gods, so Yaakov doesn't know that Rachel stole these trophies. And so he says, whoever stole them will die. And by Vo Lavan Bohel Yaakov, first he goes into Yaakov's tent, Ubohel Leah, Ubohel Shtei Amahot. He goes into everyone's tent and he doesn't find them, the Lomatza. By Tzemeohel Leah, by Vo Bohel Rachel, and he goes into Rachel's tent. You can hear the Hitchcock music just screaming. Rachel Chasa Trafim, Vetishaman Bechar HaGamal, Vetishavalehem. She hides them in the sack of her Gamal, right in that seat, and she lies on top. Vimishash Lavan is called Ohel Velomatza, and he doesn't find it. And so just as an understanding of what these trafim are, Dasa Kanim gives a whole explanation. I'm not going to go into it in source 27 because it's a little bit gross. If any of you are squeamish, you probably don't want to hear it. But essentially, these trafim were deities with a lowercase d that they could kind of tell the future, almost like an Avodah Zarah version of the Urim V'Tumim. V'huma Deber Kedechtiv HaTrafim Debru Avon. And Ramban says in source number 29, Shehim Kalim Mekabel Hashos, Yiksamu Behem Ludas Antidos. They are there to help tell the future, and to be used in order to, again, as a Avodah Zarah or a Metumim. Why is Rachel still in these trafim? So Rashi in source 28 has a really interesting idea. And why is Rachel still in these trafim? Lafrish esaviha me Avodah Zarah nitzkavna. That her intention was to separate Laban from the Avodah Zarah, which is such an interesting idea because Laban and Rachel don't seem to have a great relationship. But if we're going from the view that Rachel's first instinct is tefillah, this fits perfectly. Rachel just davened this whole time and finally she had a child, sees that this all comes from Hashem, and she's looking at her father who's praying to these weird trafim, and she knows that they're not real and Hashem is real. And so she says, I'll steal these trafim to separate my father from them in order that he could also feel the beauty of davening to Hashem and having the relationship with Hashem, which is so nice. And there is a potential that that's the case. But again, Laban and Rachel don't necessarily have such a great relationship. I mean, Laban gave away her husband to her sister, and Rachel was very ready to leave Laban when Yaakov asked her. So there's another idea that yes, these trafim are for telling the future, and Rachel wasn't stealing them to separate her father from Avodah Zarah, but rather to stop her father from using these chafim to find out where Yaakov's family are and where they are. And if we look in Ibn Ezra, Hashrafim, the Karov Shahaya Leben Lavan Aviha Yodam Mazlos the Pachtash Aviha Yisakel Mazlos the Das is a Derech Barakhu. That she's nervous that Lavan is going to use these chafim in order to find out where they're running away to. And so she steals them in order to save Bnei Yisrael from that happening, which shows Rachel as someone who, again, puts family first, puts her children, puts herself at risk in order to save her children. Because if Lavan does find them, she's going to be the one who's going to get killed. But she wants to protect her family and from Lavan. And so she takes these with her, which setting up in the future, she's a perfect person, it seems, to daven for us, for us to be returned to Eretz Yisrael, because she's someone who her first priority is always Bnei Yisrael and is always her children. The thing is, we could also look at this from a different view because, okay, great, Rachel stealing it for Lavan, we could poke a few holes in that to separate him. And we could also wonder if Rachel is trying to separate these from Lavan in order so that he doesn't have the ability to tell the future and stop them, why is she taking them with her? We see in Pasuk 31, when Yaakov is, at the end of Vayishlach, is getting rid of all the Avodah Zarah in his family, he doesn't take them with him, rather, he destroys them. In source number 31, Vayomer Yaakov el Betzel ve'el kol asher imo, hasir as Elohai hanechar asher betzolchem, itaru v'hachlifu simotechem. Yaakov hides them under a tree where no one can find them. This is an understandable reaction. So why is Rachel taking these chafim and not hiding them? In fact, she's keeping them right on her, as we could see in the fact that they're in her camel's cushion. It kind of reminds me, if any of you have ever seen Lord of the Rings, where the way this to take care of the ring is to throw it in the lava of Mordor, not to keep it on you. That's the absolute worst thing you possibly do. But Rachel seems to do this. And also the fact that looking back at source number 26, it keeps saying Vatik no Rachel, not so much Vatikach Rachel, of Rachel taking it to protect family or to help Lavan, but Vatik no. And it says it twice, which makes it seem as though Rachel is stealing these chafim for her own use. And if we look in source number 32 at Rabbi Huda Rock and what he says, he explains, she doesn't see much of a difference. Again, she's falling into the same mistake. She doesn't see a difference between serving Avodah Zarah and serving Hashem in the sense that mitoch ha-kesher hekesher ha-mesaber she-ashimish betrofim no'ad l'tayeh eich shehu b'amatzeha shal Rachel l'holid. That Rachel is the same way that you would dive into Hashem. She says, oh, I'll use these trophim in order to help me give birth, which again is making the grave mistake that she's making this whole time of not turning to Hashem and davening to Hashem, but rather she, the same way that she turned to Yaakov instead of Hashem, the same way she turned to Bilha, the Duda'im, instead of Hashem, the same way that she just assumed that Hashem would give her another son without any context of Tefillah, now she's turning to these trophim in order to help her give birth. Which, according to many Mefarshim, is actually the cause of Rachel's death at the end of Parshas Vayishlach. In source number 33, we actually see Rachel's death. By Sunni Basil, in source number 33, by he od kivresa aretz lavo efrata, they're getting into Eretz Yisrael and thereby efrat, atili Rachel v'tikash b'libata, and Rachel is giving birth and she's having a hard time with it. By he behakoshta b'libata, batomer lahai n'yoles, and as she's on the brinks of death, her Mioleta says, don't worry, it's a son, which I'm sure anyone on the brink of death, that's what they want to hear. But he, as she's dying, she calls him in her last breath, Benoni, and Yaakov calls him Binyamin, and Rachel is buried, dies and is buried on the way to Ephrat, he Beis Lechem, which is Beis Lechem. Which and by Tzav Yaakov Matseva al Kibbutza, he Matseva's Kores Racha Adayom. And so Yaakov makes a Matseva on her grave, which is the Matseva that it is till this day. So there are two questions that come to mind when looking at this section of Shad. First off, why is the Miletus saying Altari Pigamza Lochben? It doesn't seem like that's the type of thing you'd expect a Miletus to tell someone who's on the brink of death. And secondly, why is Rachel calling her son Benoni, which sounds and is very usually translated as son of my suffering? So if we look at Malbim, Malbim has an amazing idea that this is showing us the tzidkus of Rachel that we've been seeing from the get-go. Alter, in source number 34, Modia tzidkus Rachel, Eich nitav of tal libanim, how much you desired and yearned for children, Ad shem ravim ein meitan ochli, as we saw, she said, if not, then I'd rather die. Be'agam shegiyat ad sharei mavet, she's literally at the gateway of death. She's in her last breaths. Lo shemali ba'alzos, but she doesn't care about that. She doesn't care that she's dying. Rock Europe, hen al yidei kishui halita, yeholi nefal, o pen who builds ben kaima. All she cares about is if that this child is okay. Again, Rachel imenu, Mama Rachel, who all she cares about are her children and making sure that they're okay. Batomer laha miletus, al terimize ki gamza lach ben. So when the miletus says this, rotzalomer ben kaima har oil gadlo. This is the son you've had the 12th sheva for, going according to Barbanel and Rosh. It's come to fruition and he's okay and he's going to grow and be fine. And by he betzeis nafsha, he hayadata al hanoa the kriso b'kra'ah b'shem. She knows enough about, she's aware enough about the Noah that she's able to call him by name. Rashimo Benoni. She's calling him Benoni. Ratzalomer ben kochi, the son of my strength. Shekochi natano ki hi meita al yado. So Rachel, even though she's dying because of this birth, she doesn't see it as a negative thing of this is my suffering, rather as something positive of I am so excited that I was able to give my life in order to have this child because I wanted Yam so badly. And thus I'm naming him Benoni. And then when Yaakov names him Benjamin, he's just adding the koach to the abon. It's almost like Rachel gave him the idea of the Benoni, and he said, yes, Ben Kochi, Benjamin. And from this view, and we also see in the Torah, Moshe Alshech, who takes this a step farther, that Benoni is Sha'al in Yanot Sha'atid, Hedonin al Yisrael, Mibcha al Baneha, Zachta leben Zesh al Yada Yeshiva Me'er Toiv. That because of all these in your note that are going to happen in the future, that she's going to pray on behalf of Bnei Israel, and that they're going to be returned from their lands of their enemies, Shavu Banim Mevulam. So from this view, Rachel is the paradigm of tefillah. She is the perfect person to daven on our behalf. Yaakov, Avraham, Yitzchak, Moshe, and we can compare it to this person who cares so much about our children, always puts them first, and also always goes through the method of tefillah. That is her weapon of choice, so to speak. What if we're looking at it from a negative view? Then when we're looking at why she's naming her son Benoni, we could see a very different view. So if we're looking at the Kodesh Chiba in source number 36, we see he's talking about how Rachel messed up. And lo, that in asking for another son after Yosef. She really wasn't supposed to have even one more son, as it says, Rachel Kara. This is Hashem telling Rachel, you messed up in how you were daughtering to me and in asking for another son, even though you aren't worthy of another son. So yes, I will give you the 12th son. However, you will die in the process. And Rachel, to her credit, Rachel tzikala has a din. Rachel in her death is tzikal haladin, meaning she's accepting responsibility for her action. She's doing a vidoy. Shalkin kara libna benoni. She understands that she made a mistake. She davened to Hashem incorrectly. She had a misconception about how the relationship with God works. And thus she names her son Benoni, saying, I understand I'm dying through because of my sin, avon, but I accept that. And we see Rabbi Yehuda Rock has a very similar idea, except he says that it's through the trafim, that because of what Rachel did with using the trafim in order to touch a child, in source number 37, al hevel shel nisvateha tashpia ba'ofen magai al marachos shemayim b'chol, hi b'ta'a tachusha zo b'kriyash shem b'na. And in naming her son, she's accepting the fact that she messed up, So again, similar idea. I want to see Rabbi Bazak says it in English, which is always great in terms of pronunciation. So he says, it appears that Rachel understood that her suffering and her death in childhood were a result of her sin concerning Tropin. In particular, and the vanity and falsehood of her attempt to influence through magic means the heavenly system in general. So according to this view, Rachel messed up a bunch. She messed up with Hava Lubanim, as expecting Yaakov to be able to pray on her behalf instead of davening to Hashem. She messed up with Bilha, going to Bilha immediately instead of going towards Hashem and talking to Hashem. With the Judaim, again, turning to flowers instead of God. And with the Trophim, turning to these Trophim, which are Avodah Zarah, instead of turning to God. And Rachel understands this in her deathbed, and she understands that she messed up, and she calls her son Ben Oni because it was her mistake. And despite the fact that she finally learns to feel and she gets the relationship with Shem, at this point it's too late, and she dies on the Derech HaRatzah. She never makes it into Eretz Yisrael. And for this view, it's a very hard takeaway, because what are we supposed to think? Rachel, who never understands tefillah her whole life, she's the person who's our epitome of tefillah. Why is she the one davening on behalf? Moshe, Avram, they all seem like they'd be a way better choice in that they get tefillah. Moshe is constantly falling on his face. Avram is arguing with Hashem in order to save Sodom. Rachel misunderstands it her whole life until her deathbed. So why is she the one who we have as Rachel Mevarka Albanahar? So I think an important thing to, one way to look at it is B'nai Yisrael going into Galus. We aren't going into Galus because we've been great. Rather, we're going into Galus because we keep messing up. Whether it be with Avodah Zarah or with other Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lachaveiro, B'nai Yisrael keep messing up. And we got second chances with the in many different forms. And we have Nevi'im giving us some Mussar the way that Yaakov gave Mussar to Rachel. But no use, we keep messing up. And finally, it's too late, and we're sent into Galus. And as we're crying, we're exiting. And Rachel sees this. And what does she see? She sees her children making the same mistake that she made of not focusing on Hashem and turning to him, but turning to every other means. And so unlike Moshe and unlike Abraham and unlike any of the other Avot, Rachel understands why we're being sent to Galus, and she understands where we're coming from, because she's been in that position. So of course she's the person we want on our side davening, because who else is better to daven on our behalf? She's been there. So she understands where we are and how to daven to Hashem in order to return us back. And that's what we see in source number 39. Ko amar Hashem, min'i kolech mibchi, einayach midma, dry your eyes and don't worry, ki yesh sachar l'ulaseich, don't worry, your children are going to be returned from the land of their enemies. There's hope in the end. So we see when we're looking at it's in a way, in Rachel's end, we find hope in that it isn't our end. And unfortunately, Rachel never got to make it into Eretz Yisrael. But because of her, because she finally did understand how tefillah works, we are given a second chance and are able to return.